Today's guest has made over $8 million by age 23 and regularly goes viral for his controversial comments on social media. It's, of course, Sebastian Georgiou.
You can't get a Lambo in your 20s. I have a Lambo in my 20s. Suck it. I realized in the last 72 hours how ignorant and how lazy people really, really are. I don't care. I'll make $1 million in a day. Next month, I'll probably make $1 million in a day. I had an absolutely terrible childhood. Pain, 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 shame, shame, shame. Like, I want to change. I want to change. Guys don't like hanging out with girls. We like to sleep with girls. These girls that like stand up for feminism, they're standing up and defending a belief that they don't actually even have. Bro, well, I don't feel threatened by anyone. If she wants to leave and go be with a loser, then go be with a loser. I don't care. I have 10 other girls in line.
Right, so we're the typical English guys when it comes to coming to America, aren't we? Yep. First thing we did was go to Walmart and grab some Prime.
Tell me you're British without telling me you're British.
It's like crazy prices at the moment in the UK, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, these are about £25-30 a bottle.
Didn't
in the
even
UK.
Cost me $2.
It didn't, did it? You had a pallet load of these.
Yeah, we went to Walmart and these guys spent about $250 on chicken, rice, all the good food that you could possibly need. I spent about, what was it, $60 on Prime. And just loads of American
stuff. I don't think you've ever done shopping in a supermarket for food, have you? You get your girlfriend to do it all your shopping.
No, I have done it once or twice with her, but I actually do it all online now. But I wouldn't even know what to buy. I don't know what goes with what.
So why do you let your girlfriend do all the shopping and take control of that area of your life?
Because I'm incapable of doing that. I'll go to work and make the money and she can handle that for me.
I think you'll get on with today's guest really well, to be honest. He's very similar to you in the sense of gender roles. Mm. He believes the guy should be the provider, whereas a woman should take care of the man.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to him. He's done very well at such a young age. So.
Hello. Hello. Hi, nice to meet you.
Hi, Sebastian.
Yeah, Curtis.
Nice to meet you, Curtis.
How you doing? I'm Mark. How you doing?
Nice
good.
To meet you, Mark.
Good to meet you.
Oh, is that where you come from, Arizona? Yes. Okay, yeah.
About 4.5 hours, yeah. Very easy drive, just through the mountains. Yeah. Very peaceful. We caught the sunset. It was very nice.
So a question I see you ask a lot of people, it's quite a hard one. So why should people listen to you? So I'm going to throw that one straight at you at the start of the podcast.
Why should they listen to me? Well, I'm not saying they should. I'm not saying they should. Everyone's free to make their own choices, but I will say that although I'm 24, which people will automatically discredit me just for my age. Although
same
I'm
age as us, same age as Kai as well.
So you guys understand.
And yeah. I was 24 once as well, so that's fine.
Yeah, many moons ago. I'm sure you were very wise when you were 24, right?
Early 30s now.
Yeah, over 30, yeah.
I'd like to think that I've overcome a lot of stuff in life, a lot of like adversity, even at this age already. So I think I have something of value to share, and that's why I'm sharing it. I'm not sharing it to, you know, get everyone to live like me and to be like Sebastian. I'm just sharing it because I like to believe I have a good heart, and I would like to help people if I could help people. You know, I looked up to some people when I was younger, and they helped me with some things, and I want to be that person for other people. So,
how much money would you consider to be wealthy?
Wealthy?
And is there a difference between being rich and wealthy as well?
Yeah, I think rich is like a couple million dollars, like that's rich. Mm-hmm. And wealthy is like you're set for good and you have like houses in different countries, you have cars, you have connections and high-level friends. I feel like that's more of a like the term with wealthy,
that's
you know?
It, yeah.
Maybe so, it's not so subjective, but that's how I feel. I would say 50 million is wealthy.
Oh, okay, that's higher than where I'd put it. I'd be looking 10 million, but still earning, you know, so you're on your way.
Yeah, yeah. I don't care to be the richest person on the planet. I don't care to be a billionaire. I know it's going to happen one day just because of the head start that I have and because I love to work, so I know it's going to happen, but honestly, I don't care. I just want to have a family.
What E-Man said, which I found quite interesting, he said he didn't want to be a billionaire because once you get to that stage, you know, you've got a certain amount of power and people want to start controlling you. So what are your thoughts on that?
I think Iman is also going to be a billionaire. I think he's a very, very hardworking guy. I agree with what he says. I think that when you have that much money, you kind of get sucked into this this pool of people that run the world because you have a lot of money's power and you can do a lot with $1 billion. And if you can do a lot, they want to make sure that you're not doing something that goes against them.
You're playing to their script.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think you'll see like it's kind of obvious the people that are more resilient to these people, they become very hated in the world, right? Like Elon Musk or like Trump, like the media will be like, screw these people.
I feel like everything switched for him a lot lately. Yeah, like 100%. People really liked him not that long ago. Well, I at least felt like they did, but now it seems like he's
and
got
then
a lot
Tesla's
of
stock just dropped and everyone's like losing money from it. That's probably one of the reasons.
So that's what they'll do is they'll just discredit and they'll tarnish the person's brand. That's what they'll do if they don't like him, because they'll be like, hey, so actually, I don't know what the purpose of this podcast is. This came to my mind.
Money,
so,
success, and power.
Okay. Yeah. Do you guys know Edward Snowden, whistleblower from the CIA? So he, what he said is, okay, if somebody finds out something fraudulent, if somebody finds out something that shouldn't be said and says it, the government won't respond to the statement. Like the elites won't respond to it. They'll just discredit the person. So they won't be like, this guy says, hey, what they're doing is completely fraud. They're stealing your money. They're enslaving you. And they'll be like, that guy's a human trafficker. That guy is, you know, he said this. He said the N-word 10 years ago. That guy did this. That guy did that. They won't respond. They'll just discredit you. That's what they do.
So do you think that's what's happening with Tate at the moment?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. 100%. Yeah, there's no question about it. Yeah.
So do you think that he's totally innocent then? And all of these things maybe are just made up by the Matrix? Or do you think there's something to it?
I'm not going to pretend to know the skeletons that everyone has in their closets, right? Because I'm sure that he's done stuff in the past. Everyone has done stuff in the past. Not like criminal stuff like that, but everyone has maybe done something that they shouldn't have done in the past. In terms of human trafficking, I just completely don't think so. I've met Tate. I've talked to him.
We were lucky enough to do the last video or interview before he was taken in.
Yeah. So you can kind of pick up on someone's energy, right?
Yeah, and it's certainly can.
Tate is a very generous person, a very careful person. So yeah, I don't think so. And plus the girls are coming up and being like, we're not part of this case. Take us out of the case. And it's just like, it looks all fishy.
Yeah, it's all very shady.
Yeah.
So a big thing that people try and decide whether to do is focus on money or passion. What would you say is the best route to go down for like a young entrepreneur looking to make their way?
I would follow the money when you're young. Follow the money. And then I think money is step one. So that's, once you acquire the money, you kind of have like more of a sandbox, more of a playing field. And you can kind of figure out what you want to do with your life. So if you have a ton of money, you can figure out what your passion is. And I know I saw your video before I came here. You said get into a business that you are passionate about because you'll be, you know, you'll have a more of a drive to work towards it and to increase the profits and et cetera. There's no right answer, right? I mean, we're all trying to climb a mountain. There's plenty of ways you can climb it. Some ways are better than others, but ultimately, if you work really hard, you'll get to the top.
And you can be purely passionate about being in business as well, can't you? I mean, I have burning passion to do business and make deals and things like that. So it's quite a good combination.
I think you see it as a bit of a game, don't you?
I do.
I'm
the
same.
Yeah, I tend to gamify it a little bit. And I suppose the line is how much money you've made that year. Have you moved forward? Have you moved back? And all the rest of it.
So. Yeah, there's an underlying passion underneath whatever it is that you're doing, right? So it's like playing Monopoly. You want to like accumulate, you know, the dollar sign goes up.
So speaking of money, you made a video about wanting to make $3 million in 3 months, 2 months ago. How is that going?
It's going very well.
Because I thought that was just crazy.
No, it's going very well. Mm. Yep. I'm working on some really, really, really crazy stuff. And just for me personally, it's been like hockey stick curve lately. So I'm very, very blessed, very fortunate lately. Yes.
I haven't seen that video. So what was the plan?
So the plan was to basically spend most of my time and effort growing my personal brand, and then to in the background have equity and portions of companies that I own that I get cash from, and to just send the people that come into my personal brand to these companies helpful products. So I have my hands in multiple different companies now, and as the brand grows, they're like, who is Sebastian? And then they see like, this is what I have. It's not like a course or anything like that. It's just actual businesses and services.
So what are some of those businesses?
So for example, I have my Google Ads marketing agency. So people hear about me and then they see that I have a marketing agency, and then they're like, okay, you know, we want to come and be clients. I also have a free course with Sebastian Escueto, one of my business partners. And that has just been blowing up. It's a funny story about that, but it's been blowing up. We have like 7 affiliate links in there. And obviously with what has happened recently, a lot of people are like, who the hell is this kid? I want to find out something. Scammer with his courses. I'm like, the course is free, bro. I don't know.
The trouble is they wonder where you've come from, don't they? When you're young, it's sort of like, bam, he's on the radar. Why is that? He must be a scammer.
Yeah, I realized in the last 72 hours how ignorant and how lazy people really, really are. It's basically been a game of telephone all over the world. And I watched a video of these two reporters on the news talking about me, like these two people having a conversation. This YouTuber, Sebastian, just saying, like, he's like, he claims to have done this, never claimed to have done that ever. Like, and I was like, what are you guys talking about?
So is telephone like Chinese whispers? Is that the game? Or
it's the game where you, that yeah, where you whisper to someone, and then right, by the time it gets all the way back to you, it's completely different.
Yeah, we call that Chinese whispers.
And I'm just like, what are you guys talking about? Yeah. And it's very frustrating because they'll say that, and then the 10,000 people that watch them, that's their impression of me, and it's just not true. It's just
It's what they do on the mainstream media, isn't it? They just they have the base level understand. They're doing it to Tate at the moment. They're going into schools and saying that he's this bad guy and you shouldn't listen to him. They're just brainwashing the next generation.
The school near me, I got a leaked email sent to me, and they're actually holding like meetings after school for parents and students to go to, and the whole topic is just Tate.
Yeah,
it's insane.
In my opinion, the teachers shouldn't really, that shouldn't be any of their concern.
It's crazy.
You have to teach the children what you're there to teach them. It has nothing to do with your agenda, your ideologies, or your politics, or anything like that, in my opinion. Like, leave that at home. Like, you can go teach your kids if you'd like, but leave my kids alone.
Yeah, for sure.
We've got to talk about your comment recently about the Lamborghini.
Let's do it.
So, do you want to explain it in more detail? Because I've seen a clip where you say that if you're 20 and don't have a Lambo, you should have a serious conversation with yourself about why you don't have one. Now, I'm 20, Kai's 20. I could afford a Lambo, but I don't see the point in having one. I don't want to waste my money buying one when I could invest it elsewhere. So what's your opinion on that?
Yeah, okay. Obviously, that was sarcasm. That was just a joke. The 1% of that statement that was true was, if you're in your 20s, you should have a relatively high net worth, at least above 100 grand, because of how easy it is to make money. So if you are in your 20s and you follow me and you have that drive and that ambition, it's not very difficult. And you understand that because you've done it. Yeah. We've all done it. So we all understand it, right? Have you done it?
No, I'm close.
Okay.
Very close.
So you will understand it very shortly, and maybe in the next couple of months. So that's what I meant when I said that. Buying a Lambo is not a good decision. In fact, I actually didn't even like Lamborghinis, like, ever. Like, I've always preferred the R8. That was my first. I bought the R8 before.
So do you have a Lambo now?
I do, yeah. So I have the Urus, the SUV. Right. The only reason I bought it was because I needed a tax write-off. So it's like, I wasn't even, like, dreaming about the Lambo.
It's good marketing as well for, like, a personal brand and a YouTube channel. So I see why you would get one. But for the average 20-year-old, it's probably not a great idea.
Yeah, and I'd buy a Ferrari, too, before, like, a Lambo. I had the Audi before. I like them more. Honestly, since I've had the Lambo, I really enjoy it. It's a really great car, so my perception on it has gone up. But yeah, that was very, very obviously. I thought it was very obviously sarcasm. It wasn't. I intended, and I did say it in a way because I wanted it to go viral, and I wanted. Basically, the idea was this: hey, I'm going to say it's easy to get a Lamborghini. People are going to see me. I'm young. They're going to be like, "Who the hell is this guy?" And then they're going to search up my name and then remember my plan to make $3 million in 3 months. It's all part of the plan. It just worked way better than I ever could have possibly expected. It was like $70,000 or $80,000 worth of press, like every single person trending in Romania. I have an interview with like the biggest Romanian television show on Monday. They're going to interview my mom. Like it's just crazy. So
do you see all press as good press, or was it always that case? Because like looking back at it, when you first started making these controversial comments, did you feel a bit like, oh, everyone's hating on me?
Yeah, because you definitely have a lot of haters, but this is what we do, dude. We have to sift through most people. Most people are not the type of people that are going to follow us. We have a different mentality, a different mindset, and unfortunately, they're rare. So I have to, if I'm going to collect as many of these people as I can, then we have to sift through all of the normies, you know, all the brokies or whatever you want to call it, the normal people. Yeah. But not everybody has a mindset. Yeah, so there's a lot of hate, and that's fine. I am the way I am, and I'm not going to change for anyone, you know. So,
in your opinion, what is the best way to get rich?
That's a good question.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, huh? I think the best way to do it is just to find a skill or a place, like a very, very small area where you can provide value, and continue to provide value and become like very, very good in that category, and then just grow that and build a business around it or something like that. You really just need like $100,000. Really just need like $100,000. And then you could start investing it, you can start playing with it, but you really need to build up your first 100K.
How much do you think your success depends on your competence versus the area that you go into business in?
I don't know. I think I like to think I'm a smart guy. Everyone.
So
likes
do you think
that.
any area of business you go into, you would be very successful in, or do you think it depends on the market size and the opportunity available?
Anything. Really? Yeah, it's anything. And yeah, anything I do, I can make it work. If I wanted to be a pro swimmer or the best piano player.
Well, you're talking to the right person, so let's have this out now. Yeah.
Have you swum before then?
No.
No, okay, yeah.
I mean, I've swam, but not competitively.
Yeah, competitively. Yeah, I used to do that. That's my background. And then I diversified and changed and went into YouTube, video production, all of that. But I think you need to have a solid focus on whatever you decide to do and have like a dedicated 10 years behind the scenes that no one sees.
Yeah, I think most people actually can be very, very extremely good at whatever they want to be. Like, it's not humans are like canvases, and they're moldable and they can change and they can get really good at anything if they really put their mind to it. But the thing is just you have to accept the sad reality that most people are just give up. They have no passion. They have no drive. They're like, their life force is like 1%. So that's really all that it is. But
why do you think that is, though? Do you think society has beaten it out of them, or they're just born like that?
If you don't have wins under your belt, if you don't have momentum, it's really hard to build it, right? So I think that the people that have just always lived that way are going to continue living that way, and it's very hard to build up the momentum. But for people that work hard and like for 2 years, and you have like win after win after win after win, and then you keep going, like that's your lifestyle. So it's like you are always rolling, you are always moving, always growing, always reading, always making more money, meeting new people, doing new stuff, and you have the momentum. So that's, I don't know, it's just, it's hard to get started, but it's like a snowball effect. Mm-hmm. So I think they get stuck in the beginning there. Yeah,
it's like breaking the pattern, isn't it? If your parents are, you know, not well off and they struggled and they drink a bit or whatever it happens to be, then it's only going to be natural that you're going to follow in those footsteps, and you've got to break that chain.
Yeah, that's true. And most people are like, maybe they grow up just okay. And like for me, I had an absolutely terrible childhood. So I was like pain, shame. Like, I want to change. So like this fire built like inside of me. And I think maybe that is what was enough to get me rolling. And it's maybe different for other people. I don't know. But
why did you have to go through a lot of pain when you were younger then? What's behind that?
Oh, dude. I mean, I wish I hadn't. I mean, actually, no, I take that back. Everything that happened to me was good, and it was the reason why I am who I am today, and I love who I am today, like very much so. I don't know. My parents are from communist country. They came here uneducated. They didn't speak good English. Father and mother divorced, just unfortunate circumstances, like just bad card after bad card, you know, and now it's good card after good card. So
were they quite harsh on you, and did they give you positive reinforcement?
No, nothing ever good enough. No, not at all. So actually, there was just absence. So my parents were divorced. I rarely saw my father, and my mother was always working. So it was just absence, nothing. And all of my siblings are older. So I'm the youngest of four, and the next oldest is my brother, and he's 5 years older. And so they were always hanging out and doing their own thing, and I was just kind of alone. So I just really grew up like alone with nobody. Ever. Very sad.
I mean, it's similar to me. I'm an only child, and obviously dad was away working a lot. So obviously, yeah, I had all that time alone to just think. And yeah. Do you think that's part of the reason why you're successful?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the reason I am who I am today, outside of money too. Like I never had anyone to look up to. So I became the person that I wish I had someone like that I wish I could have looked up to. And that's why, like, when these dudes that DM me, and it happens every single day, people come up to me every single day and they're like, you're like, even outside of money or whatever, et cetera, like, you have really, really helped me. Thank you very, very much. And I'm like, if I even for one day have been to this person what I wish I had when I was a kid, then that's amazing. So that's really, really good. And bringing back to the Lambo thing, that's why it makes me upset, because the people's perception of me now, their first impression of me is so far off from who I really am. And I'm really just trying to help people. I'm trying to get everyone rich. I'm trying to get everyone jacked, everyone to be happy, you know, and it's just very frustrating.
So you're going to start to backtrack slightly on how controversial you are if you feel like it's getting the wrong perception of you across.
Yeah, I was thinking about this yesterday, because I was like, okay, we're blowing up and we're getting a ton of people looking at me, but they're not looking at me for the right reason. So that's not... it's working, but it's not what we're trying to do. I'm trying to get people to be like, okay, this kid is dope. Like, let's, you know, this kid's dope. Let me follow him.
I feel that most people in your position have a spot in life where they take control of their life. When would you say that was for yourself?
17. Okay. Yeah, 17. I I had finally started making friends in high school. People wanted to hang out with me. Like, I was cool a little bit. And I started, like, I grew up very, very Christian. And I was always forced to go to church, and I would just do it. And when I was 17, I was like, okay, I'm not going to be Christian. I'm going to make my own choices starting now. And then I started to party a lot. I started to hang out with friends. I started to do whatever I wanted to do. And then I looked into, like, how to make money. And that's when, like, the whole journey started. I, just for the record, I'm Christian now. I came back, and it's my own choice. Much better, healthy relationship with God. So
why has your mindset changed from maybe, like, chasing the bag when you're younger to now a more holistic view on the world? And with your YouTube channel, you're looking at fitness, everything within having a healthy life.
Because there's more to being fulfilled than just having money, right? Like, it's money is just the first step. And it's not very difficult, as you can probably attest to and vouch for me when I say that. It's really not very difficult. And the truth is that the reason most people can't do it is because they set this belief, like this cap on their own mind. And if you have that limiting belief, that cap that you can't do something, you will absolutely never get, you'll never do it. Like, you're not accidentally going to make $1 million. It has to be part of the plan. And so nobody has the confidence to do that, which is fine. That's normal. But that's why when people like us are going to come out here on the internet and say that you need to stop that, because we were there, we went through it, you know, and that's what's holding you back. You need to listen. So, like, my confidence came in waves. Like, when I made my first $400 in a day, 1,000, 2,500, 5,000, 10,000, 25,000, 100,000. Then I was like, okay, bro, I made 100K in a day. I can do anything. I don't care. I'll make $1 million in a day. Next month, I'll probably make $1 million in a day. So if you don't believe that that is possible, if you think 10K a month, yeah, no, I can't do that on the internet, then it's just not going to happen. Your brain will actively work against you and look for ways to not make that happen. So that's the thing, is people need to completely eradicate that limiting belief. They just have to, like, rewire their brain a little bit and think that it's absolutely possible. And I get it. It's like, it's kind of hard, because you see these people, you see this kid on the internet saying, if you're 20, you don't have a Lamborghini, you're a loser. It's like, this probably makes you mad, but it shouldn't make you mad. Like, it should make you question it. You're like, wait,
or it
how?
Could make you mad and fuel you, yeah, to then go you and
in a good
succeed.
Way. Sure. Yeah.
And I think there's also another limiting belief that, oh, these people had something that I don't, and that's why they're successful. And they start looking for excuses that way. So it's both sides of the same coin.
Yeah. I mean, bro, it's crazy. Like, all people are like, oh, daddy's money, trust fund, yeah, kid. And I'm like, dude, I grew up in Detroit. I was robbed. We didn't have electricity. I used to take a candle to my bedroom, because really? That was our light for like 3 weeks. My mom, no electric. That's it. I just can't pay it.
I heard,
sorry,
you
can't afford
cooked
it.
On the candle.
I tried.
What, a little barbecue?
I tried frying an egg on a candle, really? Before school, and it didn't work. I didn't eat. Like, I tried it, and then I was like, all right, well, it took too long.
Why next month specifically will you make $1 million in a day, just to come back to that?
Yeah, just launching a new offer. Yep, just properly launching a new offer, something really, really cool. I haven't spoke to my business partner if I can say it yet, so I'm just not going to say it, but you guys will see
it.
Yeah, you guys will see it. It's really cool. Yeah. It's really helpful.
Is there lots of businesses that you have behind the scenes that we don't know about on YouTube?
I don't know. Probably like 6. Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, but I don't really... I'm just kind of trying to keep it like more low key, but yeah, probably like 6. Yeah, I do all sorts of stuff. If there's value, if there's money to be made, I'll make money.
Do you ever feel like you can't find people that think the same way as you do?
I'm really glad you asked, Curtis, because when I first started my business, I didn't know anybody that thought along the same lines as me or even owned a business.
And it's so important to talk when you're going into business with other like-minded people. It's no good just chatting with your mates down the pub that have got no idea about what your hopes and dreams are. So you've got to get a network together.
Yeah, and how did you used to do it back in the day?
Well, I used to have a mentor that I used to be able to speak to, but I gradually built up lots of different people in business, be it a sports shop, be it a pet center, and we all got together monthly, I think it was, so that we could actually talk. Yeah, you sell pets.
Sell pets, like animals?
Yeah, yeah, rabbits, you know, birds, fish, all that sort of thing.
Well, on that note, this reminds me of a little something that we have to offer.
Yeah, so it's definitely not as hard as back in the day when you had to do stuff with pet
shops. You won't
have
to go to the pet store for this.
But you can sign
up. What's wrong with a pet shop?
You can sign up to our exclusive Discord community. It's completely free, with nearly 20,000 like-minded entrepreneurs in there, ready to help you strike it big. So if you want to join that, then click the link in the description below. Anyway, back to the show. So if you had to describe what makes a man powerful, what would it consist of?
I think it's a few things. It's not just one. I think, first of all, he has to be resourceful. I think a man has to have wisdom, so experience. a nuanced view on things. So being able to understand both sides of an argument. I think he has to be in great shape. I think he has to be like physically powerful.
I've heard you say in the past that health is more important than your finances as well. So can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, would you trade places with the richest person on the planet if he was bedridden?
No.
Yeah. So like and that's the thing is people that don't take care of themselves, I don't think that they realize that the effects of not doing that are also in the future. They're coming along the way. So it's not just like right now, how you feel right now. It's also about the future and how you're going to age and how your body is going to respond to all the stress that you're giving it. And ultimately you want to feel good, because if you don't feel good, if you're not healthy, then nothing else matters. Health is always number one. So I said that on a popular podcast and a large girl got very upset at me.
I was going to say, you triggered a lot of people for saying you hate fat people or something along those lines.
Yeah, I don't hate fat people. Yeah. I don't, whatever. I have fat friends. My brother was extremely overweight. Very, very overweight. He's down almost 60 pounds now since I talked to him. But yeah, I don't hate anyone. I mean, I love all humans, but I think humans should take care of themselves. And if you're going to come to me and you need to lose 100 pounds and you're asking me how to start a business, I'm going to be like, yo, lose 100 pounds first, because that's way more important anyway. And it's actually kind of similar to starting a business. It's going to take a long time and it's hard, 1% every day. So prove to yourself that you can do that, get in great shape, and then start a business and then just do it again. So, you know, you'll be in good shape.
I think it is easier to get like ripped when you have money. So you could probably get to standard shape and then make some money and then try and put more energy into your fitness.
Because the diet costs money as well. Like when I first met Curtis, yeah, I was like so anti-gym, which I know sounds so weird, but I was just not at all interested in it. But like lately I've been really trying to better myself and get into it. But like, you know, the protein and the constant eating, like with the cost of living crisis, where it costs a lot of money to stay in good shape, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to be a bodybuilder. I just, like, I'm talking to people that are like 40% body fat, yeah, or like 35% body fat. Mm-hmm. Like that's, you know, you don't even have, whatever, like just go to the gym, sure. Like you don't have to have broad shoulders and a huge chest. I'm just saying, like, it's very bad. Yeah, exactly. That's really just put down some food, like, yeah, or eat some whole foods, maybe. Like, yeah, don't drink Mountain Dew every single day. Like, yeah, you know, just eat some whole foods. You'll get full. Have some chicken breast once in a while, some broccoli. You'll get full, and that's it. Like,
are you listening, Kai?
Yeah. When we went
to Walmart, and he just got loads of so much shit. Like, you know? And we had chicken breast, broccoli, all
it's
of that rice.
Typical UK kid in America, though. I just wanted to try the Prime, all the American sweets.
If it's got sugar in it, he wanted it.
But just to clarify, in that statement I just made, I wasn't considering like losing weight. I was talking for myself from going up, so obviously it cost me a lot of money to try and gain the weight and put the muscle on.
Yeah, it's super easy, bro. It's super easy to just take control of that. It's not hard at all. Most people think like if you're 35% body fat and you're ignorant, you've never done it before, like you think like, okay, starting Monday, no cheat meals, only chicken, rice and beef, like I'm gonna walk 3 miles a day. Like, no, none of that. Literally just stop. First of all, don't drink alcohol. Start there. Just don't drink alcohol for 3 weeks. Just do that, and then cut down on your sugar, like, and eat whatever you want. Just eat less sugar, and then maybe intermittent fast. Like, don't eat until like 12 p.m. or then 1 p.m. and then 2 p.m. or something like that. Just like the tiniest little things will make the biggest differences. Like 20% will make 80% of the difference, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, just keep focus on the very, very simple stuff. Don't give yourself a reason to fail. Don't make it so complicated. Just easy, basic, and be consistent.
And that's what you do, Kai. You jump into it 100%. Yeah. Whereas I try and build it into my routine gradually, and then I can, you know, stay consistent.
Yeah, I just go all in. If I'm not all in, then I don't want to do it at all. And I guess that's in every aspect of my life.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of excitement when you start something new. It's like you get a dopamine, you get a rush of happy emotions. So it's like there's an ecstasy in the beginning of things.
Do you think like restricting your dopamine actually makes you enjoy life more? Because when you do have, you know, the odd cheat meal, you like it better.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because bro, it's like anything. If you do anything too much, you get used to it. There's a word for it. It's like the Hendwick principle or whatever. Like if you always drive a Lambo, it's not going to mean anything after a couple of months. And that's true. So actually, before I came here, I bought a 1998 Honda Accord. It's in the shop now, full, giving it a ton of love. Lovely. And I'm going to daily that, you know, like just make sure it's mechanically working. It has 156,000 miles.
So it's like a palate cleanser. You can go into that and then you have the fast car as well.
Yeah, yeah. And there's some other benefits to it as well that I probably won't discuss. But yeah, it's just nice to have that. And if you always have the best, you get very, very used to it. And anyone... anyone that, like Dan Bilzerian, Andrew Tate, anyone, whatever, they'll all agree at the top, even the dudes that are way higher, they'll all agree that. So same thing with having extremely sugary foods. I love sugary foods. I love them. I love like ice cream after every meal. Absolutely. Sign me up. But if you restrict it, when you do have it, it's a lot better.
Yeah. So if we move on to the women topic, because obviously Iman, Tate all have strong opinions on that. So would you prefer multiple women or just one girl?
One girl, yeah.
And why is that?
Just one girl. I like the idea of being ride or die with one person and having her feel the exact same way about me. I like that idea of feeling... having an untouchable, unbreakable bond.
I'm with you on that. Another girl. The strong loyalty.
Yeah, and it's also a biblical thing as well. I know in the Old Testament, guys had multiple women, but in the New Testament, husbands honor your wives and wives submit to your husbands. And I really just enjoy that. Like, I really enjoy the idea of man, woman coming together and building a family together. I really, really like that.
Well, what sort of qualities or wifey qualities should you be looking for in the woman you choose?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I do have a girl. So I have the perfect girl in the entire world for me. And she is a very pleasant, very calm, very collected, happy person. My life is complete chaos all the time. I'm always stressed out. And she is there and she's just like, I'm here for you. Like I'm going to be your peace on this earth. And she absolutely loves that. So like the feminists hearing that, they're going to get already, I can already see the comments. They're going to get so mad. She doesn't exist to serve you. It's like, no, you don't understand. Like that she's doing what she wants to do by doing that. And I'm doing what I want to do. I want to
in a way,
the chaos.
That's anti-feminist because feminists should want women to do whatever they want.
And be happy. You know?
Bro, yeah. This is you want to hear something crazy? Look, so... they got mad at me because I said, I don't want to send my girl off to college. I want to bring her home. I want her to cook and clean and help me and let her do whatever she wants to do. And they're like, you're toxic masculine. Make her go and work a job that she doesn't care about. And I'm like, how? You guys are arguing here because you want freedom. You want women to have independence. Mm-hmm. And here's what I'm doing. I'm giving my girlfriend or my wife or the opportunity to do anything she wants. She has ultimate freedom. Ultimate freedom, no chains to anything. And you're saying that that's toxic. Like you're saying that that's not liberating. I am the feminist. I am the one that's freeing the girl. Like she can do whatever she wants. Any business she wants to start, any hobby she wants to do, she can do whatever she wants to do.
See, that's exactly what I'm saying to my girlfriend at the moment. And Dad's saying that she should go into her job and do it for a year and all of this stuff.
Now, that's not strictly speaking true. What I've said is she's put the money and the resources into university to become a teacher at a primary school. And if she finishes at the end of this course and doesn't do a year in actual education, if she wants to fall back on that at a later stage, it's very difficult.
Yeah, but I don't think she'll need to.
Whereas in about 10 years' time, if she wants to do that, at least she's got the opportunity to say, I've got some experience within that field, as opposed to saying, yeah, I did a course only.
Yeah, and even on top of that, like if the girl is going to want to do her own stuff in life, right? She wants to have her own achievements. She wants to source her own fulfillment from setting out to do something and achieving it. So it's like my girlfriend, that TikTok went viral and she's like, this guy's toxic. You want to control her. Bro, my girlfriend is still in school and she's probably going to finish her school. She's most likely going to finish her school and get a degree. That's fine. Like you can, if you want to do that, if she wants to do it, she wants to do it. Fine. I don't care. But like just when we get married and when things become more important, like right now we're kind of just playing around. Like we have time, we have money, we can do whatever we want. But you know, when we want to start a family, I need you around me. I need you back home. But like, if you want to go out and get a degree, go out and get a degree. You're probably not going to use it.
I think getting the degree is a good idea, but you always have it. You can always fall back on it. Maybe not doing the year of teaching afterwards is fine, like because you can always go back to
it. I think as long as she gets it, then it's fine.
And I should point out that also she has a ton of scholarships. So it's like if this were a case where it's like I'm going to get $60,000 in debt, this would totally change my opinion. But like for her to get her degree, it's going to cost like less than $10,000. So it's like, okay, if you want to do it, you know. But people go into debt six figures plus. So
what are your thoughts on traditional gender roles within the household?
The Bible is always right. Like if you listen and you follow the Bible, you'll live a happy and fruitful life. You will. You won't overindulge in things. You'll have most likely a healthy, happy household. It's just always right. Like It's just better this way. It's just this is how I feel is better. I've been in relationships where it was less traditional, and more traditional is better in my experience.
Why do you think society is trying to break down traditional relationships?
Okay, so this is going to sound a lot like Andrew Tate, like what he says. There are a group of people that run the world, and what they do is in their own interest for their profit and for their power, for their gain in power. And having weak men and strong women, and having women and men against each other is part of their plan. And having race against race is part of their plan. And having us, all of the people that are the same on the same time, like the same team, all the people that aren't ultra billionaires against each other, that's all part of their plan.
Yeah, so, because the world feels more divided than ever before, even with all of these quotas for different people in TV shows. You will have the Asian person, the white person, all of those things, and it still feels like back in when I was younger watching the TV shows, it was a lot better. There wasn't that kind of racial divide. And
dude, I mean, it's all the feminist movement is the best business move of like all time. Right. Like you get the woman to believe that this is what she needs to do, even though she does not actually care. These girls that like stand up for feminism, like they're standing up and defending a belief that they don't actually even have. Like if they were to sit down for an hour with just sitting on a couch like this with no phones or not speaking to anyone and just actually have a conversation, have inner dialogue about what they're believing and why they're believing it, they would realize it's all a fugazi. Like it all leads to nothing.
Yeah, I've seen you've given your girlfriend your credit card or your Amex card,
yes, sir,
to go out and buy whatever she wants, mm-hmm, and to please herself. So do you know, because of that, I would wonder if she's with you for the right reasons. How do you know that's the case?
Well, she never asked me for that. I gave it to her. How that happened was she's like, hey, I'm going to go work for the school at the front desk for the gym. It's $8 and change per hour. And I was like, you don't have to do that. You know, like just put my card on your, on my thing and you
but
can
you're
just
breaking
do whatever you
one
want.
Of the fundamental rules that guys have. Don't give the plastic to the girlfriend.
Is that one of your rules?
Well, it was. Yeah. She's got her own.
So the thing is I make enough money and we've had conversations about it. She's not going and like she's not partying on my card. She's not buying clothes and shopping like at Louis Vuitton and Chanel on my card. She does go shopping for some clothes if she needs it. She gets all the food that she needs. She goes and gets her nails done. She pays for the gas. I'm here to support her. And that's what I'm doing. I'm a man. I'm going to support my girlfriend. I'm standing by all the things I say on social media. And yeah, and that's it. Like I'm just supporting her. I'm okay with that. She's not spending all my money. Like you won't catch her like that. We've had a lot of conversations about material goods, and people say I'm materialistic. The whole world thinks I'm materialistic. I'm actually really not. Like I'm very, very the opposite of materialistic.
But you like nice things.
Sure. Yeah.
That's
I do.
Natural.
I mean, the Lamborghini is a tax write off. So,
yeah.
But it's,
and they draw
it's
attention
nice
to your brand as well. So, it if makes you're not more talking money about, yeah, if you're not talking about getting the nice things, and this is what attracts the guy. It's like the lead magnet, isn't it? Like, you can have all these nice things, and then you can switch them to actually, you want this nicer life. You want to be healthier.
Yeah. I mean, 95% of my focus with my money is just is growing it and expanding it through real estate, through investments, and yeah, et cetera. Like, I don't care. I mean, I'll be honest, I wear pretty much the same clothes all the time. Like I have like 6 shirts that I wear and I wear them all the time. Like when I wake up and I work, I have like the same pair of sweatpants. And then like when I get a new pair of sweatpants, I just switch it out. And then this is my sweatpants for the month. Like this is how it works.
Is that on purpose? Because I've heard that Einstein has done that in the past. Like because he didn't have to make those decisions in the morning. Like what should I wear? And he could make the more important decisions in the day that way.
I just can't be bothered.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I just can't be bothered. I don't care. I don't care.
What do you think about your girlfriend having male friends?
No.
Do you wish to expand on that a bit?
But yeah,
how
sure
about male friends she had before she met you? Because I've had this conversation with my girlfriend. I said, no more male friends, but the ones you had before, fair enough, because they were there before me.
Okay. All right.
Are we going deep? Are we going deep?
I am excited for this.
Why you have to think about every action, every behavior. Why are you doing it? So why do you need male friends? Answer me that. This is a conversation.
Well,
so tell
she'll
me
say because he's nice,
but they can offer protection, they can offer a lot of things maybe that a woman couldn't, especially if they were going clubbing before
they're
with
you.
No, but before they met you. So if those guys have done that in the past and looked after her and been nothing but a friend, and then you come along, would you expect her to get rid of those friends?
Is there such a thing as a male friend?
They've proven themselves.
So here's why I would say no. Right. I would say no. This is the reason. Guys don't like hanging out with girls. We don't like to have fun and hang out with girls. We like to sleep with girls. We like to attract girls. But if we're just, if we want to just have fun and we don't want to like have that like tension, that flirtatious tension, or end up sleeping with a girl, we would prefer to hang out with guys. That's just the truth. Okay, so guys can all agree on that. Do you guys agree or disagree with that?
Well, you generally don't go and play golf with your with other women, unfortunately. You go with your mates, don't
right.
you,
to have a laugh. It depends sometimes. If you want a girl to talk to about emotions and how you're dealing with things, you probably wouldn't go to your guy mates for that.
Right, yeah. Guys and girls are different. Mm. And we go to guys when we want to have fun. And girls are just, I'm sorry, ladies. It's just, we're just not as fun. They're just not as fun as guys are. I'm sorry. So first of all, you have to understand is that your guy friend, that's the only reason he's spending time with you is because he's looking for that tension, looking for that chemistry, or because he has a hope one day that he might be able to sleep with you when you break up with your man, right? So that's why the guy is with you and spending time with you. Because if it was just purely fun, he'd be with his boys. So that's why he's with you. You have to understand that, right? So knowing that, then you cannot, that's not a friendship. There's something more. There is something that he is looking for. Right. So if you have a boat and I have friends and none of us have a boat, and the only reason I'm with you, because I hate you, you're a dickhead, say for example, right? The only reason I'm friends with you is because you have a boat and I get to use it, take advantage of it sometimes. That's not a friendship. We're not friends, right? I'm using you, right? Yeah. Or I'm just waiting until I get what I want out of you, right? So that's the point. And honestly, she doesn't need guy friends. The only reason girls have guys around anyway is to boost their ego, is to feed their ego when they're feeling a little bit insecure or whatever. But
what if you trust your girl that she wouldn't go for those guys? They're clearly friends. You don't feel threatened by them and they were there before you. I'm not talking about new friends here.
Bro, well, I don't feel threatened by anyone. Like I'm the guy. Like I'm the guy that's going to outwork everyone. I'm the guy that's always going to do more than every other guy, no matter what. So like, if she wants to leave and go be with a loser, then go be with a loser. I don't care. I have 10 other girls in line. You can fulfill your ego and source all of your happiness from me. Like I should be enough for you.
So what if she's used your credit card, gone and bought herself a real hot number, you know, dress wise, and she's going out with her girlfriends to the club. What do you think about that?
I'm not okay with you going to the club tonight. And if she said, I'm going to go anyway, I would say, that's fine. You can make your own choices. That's fine. Do whatever you want to do in life. I'm not controlling you. But you are going to go to the club single. And that's it. And I'm done. I'm out. I'm bouncing.
Is that because she's now not the girl that you thought she was?
Yeah, because relationships have boundaries, right? And this idea, this like feminist movement in this society, this idea that society plants in all these people's heads, it's making them think that they are allowed to do whatever you want. But that's not true. When you get into a relationship, you have to make sacrifices. There are certain things that you can no longer do. And going out to a club and seeking attention from a bunch of dudes is something that you cannot do. That breaks my boundary.
But and some girls would say that they're actually competing against the other girls at the club. They want to look the hottest girl amongst their group of friends. It's not to attract a male.
So you're saying that the reason that they're going out is just to compete with all the other girls that they're going out with?
I think the main reason is to have fun and, you know, look nice and boost their confidence a little bit, maybe.
That's the only reason. Look, because if you want to have fun, you can have fun with your girls at home where there isn't a bunch of dudes. You can have fun. But why do you go out to a bar? Why do you go out to a club? Because you're going to look around and see guys looking at you and smiling at you, and that fulfills your ego. Let's just be honest. Like, that just makes you feel good when other people look at you and be like, damn, she looks good. That's why you're there. And if it was just purely fun, you could do it at home, or you could do it in a pool, or you could do it at a park, or you could do it wherever. But it's not. The reason that you put yourself in the situation where there are a bunch of people is because you are looking for that attention from those people. Otherwise you wouldn't. It's the same argument as like, a girl dresses for herself. She can wear whatever she wants. She can look as hot as she wants, or wear, you know, a dress that shows her boobs to everyone or whatever. I don't know. And it's like, okay, if you are looking nice for yourself, then wear it at home. Like, why would you wear it when other people can see you? Why is it that when you're home, you're wearing sweatpants and a sweatshirt and no makeup, and then when the strangers, the men, can see you, you're showing your tits to them? You know? So it's like, is it really for yourself or is it for the attention?
So if we reverse the roles and say, how about you going out? Is that okay? Is that accepted?
So I'm not going to have, first of all, I'm not going to have female friends. I don't have any female friends. Again, I don't even want to hang out with them in the first place. Right? I'd rather hang out with my girl or my boys.
That is brutally honest, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't. Like, I really
don't.
But
at least you're not hypocritical and you're saying one rule for her and a different rule for you.
Yeah, no. I do not want to hang out with girls. If I'm going to be with a girl, it's with my girl. That's it. I just want to be with my girl or my mom or my sister or whatever, like my family. Otherwise, I'm with my boys or I'm by myself.
What's the most important personal value you hold as a man?
Always keeping your word true to yourself. So if you say you're going to do something for yourself, or if you say this is the type of person I am, just internally always trying to be true to yourself and to keep your own word and not lie to yourself and just to be who you want to be all the time. I think that's really, really important for me.
Do you see like your content transitioning from the more like this is how to become rich, this is what you can do, to vloggy kind of stuff?
No, definitely not vloggy.
Yeah.
No, just I want to just make my content is going into an area where I want to make really, really good, entertaining, informative videos about certain topics. That's where I'm going. So if there is a topic, let's say how to get rich, I want to make a video in the future that's like 30 or 40 minutes long, that's entertaining the entire way through, that explains everything, that explains like, okay, this is what a liability is, a Lamborghini, this is what an asset is, and an asset makes you money, and inflation is outpacing your wages. So essentially, the only way that you have to survive is if you save up enough money and start buying things that make you money, and holding on to that and living below your means, and just explaining all of the concepts, like, you know, the first five Get Rich books that you've ever read, explaining all five of those concepts in one video, so that people can watch it and really actually learn from it and share it with their family and be like, this is a really, really good video. It helped me understand what I need to do.
That's the trouble is getting enough people to action that, isn't it, really? Because the message is fairly simple, really, or we certainly see it as fairly simple, but getting people to take action is a different matter.
Yeah, I mean, that's at that point, you know, you could lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. So it's like, at that point, I've done my part. So I've given you everything that you need to get started. If you don't get started, that's on you. And you have no right to complain.
I quite often think people are too impatient to get rich. They just haven't got the patience for it.
Yeah, I mean, it takes time. And in my experience, I think you could probably agree with me, it's very exponential. So it's like the first 10Ks, you don't even know how you're going to do it. You don't know where it's going to come from. It takes a while. And then you get it. And then it just keeps going. And it gets faster and faster and faster and faster. So you should be patient in the beginning.
I think most people seem to work on the notion that they're saving for something rather than saving to make a better life. You know, so for example, someone will save, get $1,000. Great, I've got enough to go to Vegas, for example. And I think they've got to get past that stage where that $1,000, right, we're never going to nip below that. We're going to grow the next one and the next one. And that's where your exponential growth comes from, because you allow that to happen. I don't think others do.
Yeah, yeah. And the faster you can do it, the more exponential, because that's the beauty of exponential
compound
growth. Yeah, compound. Exactly. That's the beauty about it, is that the faster you can do it, the better. So I used to give the example in one of my videos of like escaping an island. So like from the movie Castaway, like the waves are easy at the shore and then they get harder and harder and harder and harder and harder. But it's your job to get past those. And then once you do, it's smooth sailing. It's very, very easy. So like the hardest wave, in my opinion, is like $100,000 after taxes and everything. Once you have 100K, like if you're just not an idiot, you're going to be very, very wealthy if you 10 years from then, right? So yeah.
So now you're at that smooth sailing section. Mm-hmm. What motivates you to keep pushing?
I mean, bro, like, it's fun. What else am I going to do? You know, I don't care about having a Bugatti or about this or that. I mean, I want to have my own plane for sure. And I want to prepare myself for the worst possible case scenario in the world. And I want to have ultimate protection for my family, like my own family and my brother's families and my mom and everything. And I think that includes having a self-sustaining home and compound or ranch somewhere in the country.
Maybe right in your compound next.
Where nobody knows, you know, like gardens, animals, self-sustaining water. Having a runway, being a pilot, having a plane, having a second or a third base I can go to. I also really, really, really want to build like my own skyscraper in a downtown city. So I just want to, I don't know, I'm just like playing GTA, you know, I'm just playing the game. I just want to have fun. I just want protection. And what else am I going to do? Like play video games like all day long? I don't know. What else am I going to do?
Playing the best game in the world.
Yeah, like real life is a video game.
So how much do you value your parents' praise and admiration for what you've achieved?
It's not very important, to be completely honest, because I never had it growing up. So, and my parents are like very unorthodox type of people, very Romanian. They grew up in a communist country. They're not proud. Like their life is like survival and hardship and whatever. My mom, to be completely honest, I know my mom is proud of me, but like I don't think she has said it to me more than 5 times ever in my entire life. My father has never said it ever, not even today. So I don't look for it. I'm stating that as a fact. I don't look for it. I don't care. I don't need the approval of my parents or anybody else on this planet. I am who I am. And that's fine if you don't like it. You don't have a Lambo. I don't know what to say. You know, like whatever. You don't like it. That's fine. Okay, I don't care. I don't care. But yeah, that's the thing is I had a conversation with an 18-year-old. He works for me. And he was just like really, really looking up to me. And he was really inspired by me. He's like, dude, I've never had a father. I've never had a big brother. I've never had a man to look up to. I look up to you. And I was like, holy shit.
That's like, responsibility.
I was like, thank you, bro. I'm happy that you say that. And I hope that I can live up to your expectations. Right. But he said, he's like, I need help with my parents because I'm trying to make my parents proud. And I was thinking of something when he was talking to me, and I was like, you really, a lot of people in life look for the approval of other people. And the last two people that you're ever going to look for after you stop caring about everyone else is your parents. And once you stop looking for their approval, you're truly free and you can do whatever you want. And that happened to me like years ago. So fortunately for me, it happened at a very young age, and I'm a free bird flying high in the sky. But yeah, I am who I am. I do what I want.
I think a common characteristic that's often overlooked of successful people is imagination. So how have you used that in your business?
Yeah, I mean, I'm crazy. I like to believe I can do anything. I like to believe that anything is possible.
Yeah, well, you have to believe it first. Everything's created twice, isn't it? Once in your mind and once in reality.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like manifestation, right? If you think about something long enough, you'll actively work on ways to make it happen or figure out how to do it. If you're always thinking about money, you'll always figure out, you'll figure out a way to start acquiring that money. That's just how it is. And, you know, and same goes opposite.
I know you've mentioned before having lots of kids, you know, some adopted and some your own.
Yeah.
Me and Kai have been having this conversation because I could see myself having kids soon. You know, I'd quite like them. I quite like the idea of becoming a father.
I'll officially become a granddad.
Yeah, having that mini me, you know, going around training him up,
yeah.
Which would be cool. But Kai I don't know if you want to explain your position on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not on my mind right now. I think that the common thing between you two is that you are both a lot wealthier than I am. And I think that for me, it's definitely a money thing. Like, I wouldn't want to have kids if I was having to stress about anything or maybe live the way that I had to live. Because I think when I get to where I want to be, you know, I've been with the same girl since I was 17. The stars are aligned for me to go that way. But right now I couldn't imagine it. No, it literally doesn't even cross my mind. And I think she's probably on the same page.
Yeah.
I think a lot of guys are waiting longer than they used to. Back in the day, like, you know, when dad was younger.
When I went to school, like I couldn't
30,
even.
Though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You were 30 when you had kids?
Yeah.
My mom was 19.
Wow. So why do you think people are waiting longer now versus back then? I don't think it's a money thing because
they're selfish. They're selfish and entitled, and they don't care. They just want to do whatever they want to do, and they don't want to do their job as a human and procreate. They just want to party and travel to Ibiza and buy all the designer clothes and live like degenerates. And complain and fight each other, and they don't want to do something beautiful because it's hard work. Bro, it's like having a child is hard. Like, I don't have any kids.
It is hard.
You tell me.
It is hard. But
it's hard, right?
But it gets better.
Yeah,
I think the stages that are really hard are between about, you know, from when they're born to about 18. But after that, it gets better.
So when you have a kid, you're signing up for a lot, like a hard work. You're signing a contract to do something very difficult for the next chunk of your life.
Yeah.
People don't want to do that. Like, people, they don't want to do anything.
Did it cost you a fortune?
Yes, it did cost me a lot of money, but
that investment's paid off.
Yeah,
in
I think
end.
The thing is, it's, if you want to parent well, you've got to parent well. You know, there's no two ways about it. As you say, it's a hard job. And it's so easy to say yes to your kids. Of course you can have that box of games. So of course you can have all those sweets. Fill yourself up, which of course you can. That's the easy answer all the time. Yeah, you can have some money, not learn about it yourself. You know, it's so easy to give to your kids.
Yeah.
The hard thing is to say no. Let's learn some lessons here.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that's the approach you took, didn't you?
So what approach would you take?
Yeah, I mean, dude, I'm such an old man, man. I love to teach. I love to teach. And like when people listen to me and they're like, your advice is really, really good. It really, really helped me. That gives me a lot of fulfillment and happiness. So like I really look forward. I count the days down until I have kids, until I can start talking to them and start giving them what I have to give them. Like I just live for that. Even with my girlfriend, like she looks up to me in some ways and she's like, you're very wise. You're very like intelligent. Like you have a lot to teach me. You have a lot more experience than I do in life. And she's like, I just want to learn it. And I absolutely love talking to her about it and teaching her and giving her advice.
Would you treat a girl differently from a boy when you're raising them?
A girl and a boy?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Would you and hate how, to have a girl knowing what like guys are like?
And then how would you treat them differently?
Yeah. I mean, okay, bro. I mean, men and women are different. Like, you know, guys have to be, you kind of have to be a little bit more tough on guys. And women, you kind of have to encourage them and you have to like flatter them. I feel like I heard this somewhere. What gets people fired up, what gets guys fired up is a challenge. So if I say you can't do this, you can't get a Lambo in your 20s. I have a Lambo in my 20s. Suck it. You're going to be like, watch me. You know, you're going to get fired up from that. But from a girl, they get fired up from flattery. Like, you look so beautiful.
Daddy's
like, you are stunning.
Princess.
Yeah, you are stunning. And they'll just be like on top of the world. I'm on fire now. So it's just different. So I would take that concept and with my kids at an appropriate age, you know, not when they're 2.5, I would just be a little bit tougher on them and challenge them more and nurture and grow that fire within the man that every man should have.
Sounds a bit like me, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't agree with it when I was younger, but now certainly I'd be a lot harsher on my son and give my daughter whatever she wants, really.
I mean, the example I used for you when I was bringing Curtis up is he was very good at magic, you know, card magic.
This example and, comes up all the time.
Yeah, I use it because I think it's an easy example to show. And he'd show me a trick they'd been practicing and I'd say, I can see how you did it. Now, I know how the trick's done. But if I can see how it's done, it's no good him going and showing that to his mates or doing a kids' party because they'll all see how it's done.
Yeah.
Yep. So he'd go away a little bit deflated, but he'd practice so hard. And then he'd come and show me the trick and I'd go, that's brilliant. I couldn't see it. I know how you've done it and I couldn't see it. That's fantastic. And that's just the one example I use, but there's lots of examples of different ways I think you can encourage kids.
And when I came second
boys.
In a swimming race, first loser. You know, have to be number one.
It wasn't quite as harsh as that. But, you know, like on the way up, it's like the encouragement for your PBs and all the rest of it. But if you're coming second and you want to be first and that's what you wanted, then I can't praise you for coming second.
You have to keep it real with guys. Yeah, you have to keep it real with the guys because ultimately they are... If nobody's going to get fooled by guys, it's guys against guys. And there are guys that are going to come in and do it well. There are guys that are going to do the magic trick and nobody's going to know how they did it and they're going to win. They're going to sell the shows, right? So you can't keep it, you have to keep it a buck with the dudes. Like you always have to be real.
100%. So I think it's time for your famous question.
When is enough enough?
When is enough enough? In terms of money?
Everything.
Everything? I don't know, dude. Never. It's not. It's enough right now. It was enough back then. Like, but it's also never going to be enough. It's not. You're never going to stop. You're never going to. It's not a freaking. There's not a destination in life. There's never a place that you're. Once you get there, you're done. It's just the whole thing is a constant journey. So it's always enough. And it will never be enough at the same time.
And the journey's the fun part, and that the destination is an anticlimax.
Yeah, yeah, that's the whole purpose. The road to Vegas, you know, the trip here was good. The journey was fun.
Thank you very much for coming on the podcast. It's been very enjoyable.
Been fantastic.
Yeah, thank you guys.
If you guys have enjoyed the podcast, make sure to smash that thumbs up button for the YouTube algorithm. And we will see you next Friday with a brand new podcast. So it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from all of us. Laters.
See you later.
See you guys later.
I'm just waiting to see what outro you're going to do. I'm like, what's he going to do this time?
That was really cool. Yeah. Really cool.
Sweet.
Yeah, thank you guys. That was awesome.
Hopefully we tested you a little bit there.
Yeah, you guys, I've never been asked so many questions ever.
Well, we try to keep it.